This is Pocket Watching with JT, the call-in financial talk show focused on helping you get your money right. Jason Thornton is a certified financial planner licensed in both tax and investments. Now, this is not personal financial advice. This is JT's real reaction to all your money and business questions. Are you deep in debt, living paycheck to paycheck, and looking for a way out? Call Pocket Watching with JT, the financial advisor for the people. Need more? Book your personal consultation with my man JT at pocketwatcher.net. Now, let's go pocket watching.
Hey, Pocket Watchers. Welcome to Pocket Watching with JT. I am certified financial planner Jason Thornton. For those of you who are unaware, that means I'm an actual financial advisor. I do not just play one on the internet. This isn't cosplay. I do it in real life. And in real life, I specialize in tax and wealth planning for my clients. But on YouTube, I react to your money questions and scammer news. Got to give a big shout out to the over 113,000 Pocket Watchers out there. Thank you. I appreciate the support. Do me a favor, hit the like button, share this content. And if you haven't already subscribed, sit back, relax. You may like what you see and you may want to subscribe a little bit later, all right? So let's get straight into it. What are we talking about tonight? Well, tonight we have another PPP loan scam story, okay? When I saw this story popping up on my timeline, and shout out to each and every one of you Pocket Watchers who you emailed me this story, you DM'd me this story, you tagged me in this story. So, of course, here I am. I'm talking about this story. But when I saw this story on my timeline, I just kept rubbing my head trying to figure out, how did this happen? How did this woman, who was an attorney in Atlanta, how did she find herself wrapped up in a $7 million PPP loan scam? Now, I've seen other people cover this story, and I felt as if there's something missing. There's a part of this story that I'm not hearing because the math just is not mathing for me. I wanted to know, who is this woman? Who is, I think it's Shalitha Robertson. Who is this woman? This attorney from Atlanta, who the federal government says stole $7 million from the people in PPP loans. So I had to figure out, like, who is this woman, right? Who is this woman? Now, lucky enough for me, her daughter actually has a YouTube channel. And on this YouTube channel, she has a series called Mommy and Me. So I had the opportunity to not just read the headlines, not to look at the memes, but I got to get a, you know, some sort of background of who this woman is. So shouts out to her daughter, Bree. They have a very long series on her YouTube channel called Mommy and Me. And it gave me an opportunity to get a little background information on who her mother really is. So I want you guys to check this out.
No, I'm going to give her an introduction. And I'm going to let her give her own, because she'd be trying to be all cute and modest and shy. Okay, so my mother is a successful entrepreneur. She has been an entrepreneur my entire life. She's been a police officer, a public defender, city attorney. She's run for public office in the city of Atlanta. You've built every house I ever lived in besides the ones I bought as an adult, because I ain't got enough money to afford her.
No.
But you built these beautiful mansion homes. You have now... You have a successful construction company, which I think you say is probably your most successful business that you've ever had. But multimillionaire, successful entrepreneur, mother.
Right. And I never looked at it that way, because as long as I can remember, I've always had a job and I've always had a side hustle.
You thought you were just hustling. Robbing Peter to pay Paul.
No, I wasn't robbing nobody. I was doing what I knew to do. And part of that was my mother's work ethics. My mama always told me, first of all, you don't sit down and wait for anybody to give you anything. You go out, you work for it. You don't beg, you don't steal, and you don't take. So whatever you design this world, you work for it.
Yeah.
And that's all I've done is work for it. So guess what? I saw my mom work 2 and 3 jobs every day just so that we could have the little that we had. So I knew that in order for me to live the life that I liked, the lifestyle that I saw on television, the lifestyle that I saw other people when I would ride up in Buckhead at 6 years old selling peanut butter, when I saw the big fancy houses and the big fancy cars, I knew based on what my mama said that I had to work for it. So when working one job didn't do it, I had to work another job to do it. And sometimes I had 3 and 4 jobs to live and do the things that I wanted to do and give my kids the lifestyle that I wanted to give them. So working is all I ever know.
So you heard it. And I encourage you, go check out her daughter's Breeze, her YouTube channel. Very long series. They've done multiple episodes together, the Mommy and Me series. And I feel like the people who have been covering this story, I'm talking about the mainstream media, they've left out a lot of things when it comes to who this woman really is. So let me try to paint the picture based on what I've been able to research. Now, when you hear this story, keep in mind, this woman has a life story that Disney would pay her millions of dollars to make a movie based off her life story if it wasn't for what just recently happened, right? If you take the PPP loan scam off to the side, just throw that off, her life story would be worth millions of dollars because Disney would absolutely make a movie about this woman. Check this out. You have a woman, a Black woman, who came from poverty based on the story that I got. And this woman is a lesbian. Let's keep it straight here. This is a Black woman who came from poverty. She is a lesbian. She served her community as a police officer. That wasn't enough. She then goes to law school. Does she go to a big fancy law school? No, she does not go to some big fancy law school. She goes to a night school law school. Like, she goes to a law school that is unaccredited, right? Now, for those of you who are unaware, some law schools are accredited, some are unaccredited. The pass rating for a graduate who graduates from an unaccredited law school is so small, it's ridiculous. The people who go to an unaccredited law school that then get a chance to take the bar exam, most of them fail. She does not. She goes to a law school, and this school doesn't exist anymore. I believe it was Atlanta Law School. It was a night school for people who, you know, wanted to get a legal education, but part-time. She went at night. She went, graduated, was able to pass the bar. So this Black woman, lesbian, police officer, goes to night school, graduates from this unaccredited law school and passes the bar exam, then becomes a city attorney. This is already a great story. I mean, I can see Disney or any of the big companies making a movie out of this story. Not done yet. This woman then becomes an entrepreneur. Really, you know, throughout her life, she says she's always had little side hustles. This woman has like a daycare center, a construction company. She's a multimillionaire, right? Multimillionaire. Long before PPP loan stuff. Multimillionaire. She runs, I believe, for the Supreme Court of Georgia, I believe. I saw some campaign material. And this is such a great story when you look at it. So you have to ask yourself the question, how do we get here? How do we get here? How do we go from a woman who beat all the odds, came out of poverty, being a minority, being a lesbian minority, being a police officer, going to school to become an attorney at night school at an unaccredited college, then passes the bar exam, becomes a city attorney, and then becomes a multimillionaire. How do we go from that to this, to the PPP loan scam situation that we're in now? Well, let's take a look at this. She has recently been found guilty of this $7 million PPP loan fraud. How? Let's take a look at the notes here. Let's take a look at the notes. And when I'm done with my notes, the link to this show is in the chat. You can hit that link. You can call up. You can let me know. Maybe I missed something. Maybe I got something mixed up. But let's figure this out together. All right, here we go. According to the federal government, Ms. Robinson applied for PPP loans for four different companies that she had control over. Four different companies. Now, these four companies were the Atlanta Custom Motors Company, Mo Griggs Contracting, Triton, and the Renee Group. These four companies. Now, for those of you who are unaware, maybe you forgot, the PPP loans program was for employers to be able to keep their employees on payroll during the COVID-19 shutdowns. Now, the amount of money that you received in this program was based on your already established monthly payroll, okay? So let's say you're a small company and you do about, I don't know, $10,000 a month on payroll. You could have applied for the PPP loan and they would have gave you $25,000 to keep people on payroll, right? 2.5 of whatever your normal, already established payroll was. All right. Now, what did she apply for according to the federal government? Well, according to the federal government, Atlanta Custom Motors, they applied for almost $800,000. All right. The Renee Group applied for almost $700,000. All right. Mo Griggs, another one that was almost $650,000. And then there's Triton. Triton, almost $700,000. So I have a breakdown here to show you how much in monthly payroll that comes down to. All right. So for Atlanta Custom Motors, that means that on the regular, every month, she had a payroll of about $316,000 every month before COVID-19. Before. For Mo Griggs Contracting, almost $260,000 a month on payroll. Okay. All right. Triton, $272,000 every month on payroll. All right. All right. Okay. Okay. And then we have the Renee Group. $274,000 every month for payroll. This is what the established payroll for the various companies that she controlled. This is what it had to have been before COVID-19 in order for her to be able to legally get the loan money that the federal government says that she applied for. All right, that's a bit much. That's big time. I mean, she was a multimillionaire. Let me not trip up here. She was a multimillionaire long before, right? Long before COVID-19. But those numbers, Those numbers are high. All right, let's keep this going. All right, so let's take a look and see the actual numbers when it comes to the employees that she had. Now, she claimed, according to the federal government, she claimed that Atlanta Custom Motors had 118 employees. She claimed that the Renee Group had 93. Mo Griggs had 133 employees, while Triton had 83. According to the federal government, none of that was true. None of it was true. Only one out of the four businesses had any employees. Atlanta Custom Motors, zero. Mo Griggs, zero. Triton, zero. Now, the Renee Group, yes, the Renee Group did have employees, but they said at best, it wasn't 93. It was between 8 and 13. 8 and 13. All right. So how do we get here? I just want to show you what happened when a news crew wanted to check on the details of these PPP loans. Let's check that out together.
Channel 2 investigates has learned a former Atlanta City attorney and Atlanta Police Department officer has been indicted on charges that she stole pandemic relief funds. Channel 2 investigative reporter Justin Graywood is now live in South Fulton County, where you've been looking through this new indictment.
Well, Justin, it was just in October that the Renee Group here was awarded a significant chunk of a $99 million DeKalb contract. But this week, the owner of the Renee Group, Shalitha Renee Robinson, was indicted on charges that she stole millions of tax dollars. Hello, it's Justin Gray with Channel 2. I'm trying to reach Shalitha Robinson. No answer at the call box to the front gates of Chateau Royal, the grand South Fulton estate, listed with the Secretary of State as the principal address of Shalitha Robertson's company, the Renee Group. Shalitha Renee Robertson is a former Atlanta police officer and Atlanta city attorney who currently has a lucrative contract with DeKalb County worth millions to repair sewage and water systems. She's also just been charged in this federal indictment, alleged to have stolen $7 million in COVID relief Paycheck Protection Program funds intended to help keep people employed during the pandemic. In a Channel 2 Action News investigation last month, we found more than 553,000 Georgia businesses received PPP loans, totaling more than $24 billion just in Georgia. But federal prosecutors told us that tens of millions of dollars of that money here in Georgia went to fake companies trying to steal your tax dollar. This new indictment alleges that Shalitha Robertson spent PPP money on personal expenses like a Rolls Royce, motorcycle, and jewelry, including $128,000 for a 10-carat diamond ring.
Hello, Justin Gray with Channel 2.
Nobody would answer the gate today at the Renee Group warehouse, but DeKalb County records show it's one of four companies just awarded in October a $99 million contract to repair DeKalb sewer systems. DeKalb County tells us in a statement, quote, "The county was unaware that Ms. Robertson was under investigation by federal authorities for any type of wrongdoing. In light of this indictment, DeKalb County will review all contracts and our relationship with Ms. Robertson and the Renee Group and take any appropriate action."
And Robertson's former business partner, Chandra Norton, has already entered a guilty plea to similar charges. She's awaiting sentencing. U.S. Attorney for the Northern District, Ryan Buchanan, says in a statement tonight, quote, "We will continue to vigorously prosecute anyone who fraudulently attains these critical funds." Reporting live in South Fulton, Justin Gray, Channel 2 Action News.
All right, now let's dig into the numbers. Let's dig into the numbers. And let me explain how this was never, ever going to work. Never was going to work. Now, remember, this woman is an attorney. She's a lawyer. Lawyers are usually pretty good at understanding the law. Usually. But in this particular situation, there's a problem. Now, understand. In those PPP loan applications, she claimed to have about 427 employees across four different businesses. In actuality, she had between 8 or 13. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, JT, maybe it was a typo. Maybe there was some sort of clerical error. Yeah, I get that. I get that. But let me explain to you how payroll works, right? Most people are employees, so I do not expect you to understand how payroll works. So I'm going to walk you down and explain how payroll works. Now, when it comes to payroll, every 3 months at the end of the quarter, your employer has to file a form 941. 941 is the tax return for payroll. Tax returns, right? Payroll. Now, when they pay you, when your employer is paying you money, they have to fill out this form and they report how much money in gross, how much money they paid you. They also have to report how much money did they withhold from your paycheck for Social Security and Medicare. And there's an additional 941 for the state. If your state has a state income tax, there's a 941 for your state. But we'll put that one off to the side for right now. So just have in your mind, there's this form, a 941. I'll bring it up here. There's this form that you fill out when you are an employer with employees, right? Your business with employees. You have to, every 3 months, report what the gross pay was, how much you withheld for Social Security, how much you withheld for Medicare. And then there's an additional amount of money, right? There is 7.65% that your employer is paying towards your Social Security and your Medicare, right? So when you look at your paycheck stub and you see that they withheld $30 for Social Security, understand that they're actually sending $60, $30 from you, $30 for them, total 60, right? So just understand that. This is what you have to file. Now, in order to get the PPP loans, the people who were applying had to show proof of the payroll that they claimed that they had. So what's the proof? The proof is the 941 that I just showed you. That's the proof. So what happened? According to the federal government, she supplied them with 941s that supported the numbers that she gave. Okay. You were able to jump through one hoop, provide 941s that claim that you had over 420-something employees across four different businesses. I got it. Here's the problem. You really didn't have that many employees. So the fake 941s that you provided to the bank is not actually filed with the government. So when the government cross-references and take a look and see, did this person actually have that many employees? It's easy to find out that you didn't, because you never actually filed those 941s. You never actually had those employees. You never actually made those payments to payroll. You didn't withhold the right amount of Social Security or Medicare tax. All of these things are easy to find out because it's all documented. And you gave the government permission to double check and see if you were lying or not. Okay. So where are we at? The federal government is claiming that she was able to get away with around $7 million. Now, I want to remind you, this woman was a multimillionaire before COVID. Y'all saw that house that the reporter pulled up on. That house was not bought with COVID money. Let me be very, very clear. That home was bought long before PPP loans. The woman actually, based on the information from her daughter and all these other podcasts that I was watching, she builds homes like that. She most likely built that home. The woman had money. You want me to tell you why I know the woman had money? It's because after she was actually caught and was, you know, indicted and the trial, she was able to pay the money back with interest, according to reports. She had the bag. She had the money. She was able to pay the money back with interest after she got caught. So where do we come from? How did we get here? She was not in need of money because she had the bag to pay back and still have the home and all that stuff. What it comes down to is greed. It comes down to greed because she had enough money to be a multimillionaire, but with the money from the PPP loans, what did she get? Well, according to the federal government, she got this. This is a 10-carat ring, 10-carat diamond ring. This thing costs about $130,000. $130,000 for a piece of jewelry. This is what the federal government claims that she bought with the PPP loan money. They also claim that she bought this Rolls Royce. It's not as if she did not have the money to get these things on her own, but it's easier to get these type of things if you have free money from the federal government. Now, at this point, I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear what you think about this story. So there is a link in the chat, right? There is a link in the chat that you guys can click, call into the show, and let's figure out what's going on. But there's more to this story. Now, if you watch the news report, you would see that she had a partner in crime. Another attorney by the name of Chandra Norton. She is a lawyer. And apparently this lawyer is the one who set everything up, because her defense attorney claimed that the reason why Ms. Robinson was in this mess is because of Ms. Norton. Ms. Norton was the mastermind. She set everything up. She was the one who apparently, you know, applied for the PPP loans. But the problem is this. According to the federal government, after Ms. Robinson got this money, this $7 million or whatever, after she got this money, she paid Ms. Norton a bag of $400,000. So everything seems a little odd when you try to put everything on Ms. Norton, when Ms. Norton was the one that you paid $400,000. Now, to be clear, Ms. Norton, she was also arrested for this very same crime. But she snitched. She became a witness for the government against Ms. Robinson. Okay, so maybe I'm missing something. I got a couple of people here. I want to bring you up. I want to hear from you guys. Hit the link. I've got Will and I got D in the back. I want to bring you guys up to hear what you have to say. But this is such an amazing story of really greed, because you have a woman who in normal situations, you would think she would never participate in anything fraudulent like this. But a few months ago, I also did a story about all those officers in Florida who were caught with PPP loan scams. These are people who I also believe would normally not engage in fraudulent activity, but the PPP was so tempting. You guys were making people feel like they were missing out. You were doing the money phone on Instagram. You were calling all us guys lames who were too scared to go get this white folks' money. Some of y'all were even saying that a PPP loan wasn't a scam. It was reparations. Don't try to say you didn't say it now. We have the receipts. You were saying that the government owes you reparations anyway. So why not go get the PPP loan? This is why. Ms. Robinson is in her 60s. If she gets the max, which most people don't get the max when they're sentenced, But if she gets the max, she's going to die behind bars. I hope she does not die behind bars. I hope they don't give her football numbers. Technically, she can get those type of numbers. But listen, it's never worth it. I don't care how bad people on social media make you feel as if you're missing out on something. You're not. Ultimately, karma is real. If you go out and you take from others, there's a good chance something's going to be took from you. All right, let me bring up you guys into the show. I want to hear from you guys. I've got Will. Will, you are live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. What's going on?
Hi, JT. I was like, the minute I heard that post, I said, all right, let me click on the line and see how can I get in quick. Well, man, it was nice hearing her scam. You know what bothers me a lot, JT? It's just that someone that is so smart like her that had so much stuff to lose, she risked all it off for like peanuts. When you think about it, $7 million onto her status, like she has so much contract with the state. All she has to do is you jack up her price, she could get that money. Now she lose everything. It's like I'm trying to put myself into her shoes. It's just like she worked so hard to become a lawyer. All that school just wasted like overnight. Why? It's like when you look at it too, she owns this construction business that's valued millions of dollars a year.
Yeah. She has like a $99 million contract with the county.
That's
She got bread. Why?
That's my whole thing. I'm like, why do you want to do this? But the thing is, with the PPP loan, I knew something was going to happen because every IG person that were actually online, they were bragging how they have this business. You don't hear these people anymore with these stupid class webinars and all that, because all these folks took money from PPP loan. They rent Airbnb, rent cars, Bentley, Ferraris, just to show folks up, and people sign up for this foolishness, end up losing $200-$300 to go up on a webinar and don't, you know, listen to a bunch of junks that makes no sense.
Yep.
These are the same folks that still, they all these guys took $300,000-$400,000 PPP loan money. You know, well, that's what I had to say tonight, man. Well, it was good. Merry Christmas, brother.
Merry Christmas, my brother. Thank you so much for calling in. Well, listen, it's a tough situation to be in. I know and I understand the pressure that many of y'all felt. You are on your timeline and you are watching people who do not work as hard as you, who don't have the work ethic, the education, the experience, none of that stuff. You watch them ball out. You watch them take flights to Miami. You were seeing girls fly down, get surgeries, come back with a BBL. You saw all of this stuff, and you were trying to be an honest, good person, and you felt that FOMO, that fear of missing out. And some of you gave in to that FOMO, and you went ahead and submitted. You might not have got a $7 million PPP loan, but some of you got the $15,000, $23,000 PPP loans. Hopefully, everything works out for you. But I'm telling you, it's never worth it. It's never worth it. I'd rather be a cornball, lame, straight arrow, doing what I know is right, than to be looking over my shoulder over money that I've spent and really don't understand where it went anyway. So let me bring up D. D, you're live on the air. What's going on?
How's it going, JT? Can you hear me?
A little bit. You might want to get a little closer to the phone, but bring it up.
Okay, what about now?
Better.
So, JT, I just want to say I'm a young pocket watcher. I'm probably younger than your average demographic. Uh-huh. I'm in my early 20s. And I graduated high school a couple years ago, but I still have majority of the people I went to high school on my, Snapchat, Instagram, and all that stuff. So when this PPP loan was going on And, you know, people, I know, me personally, I've seen people I know personally, you know, they're taking out that $20,000 PPP loan, you know, the max you could get. And they're throwing it all in crypto and Dogecoin and all this stuff, man. And at the time, I was going to Glendale community college in my city, and I'm sitting here, you know, thinking like, man, I'm in community college, and I'm seeing all these people, you know, they got all this money, but I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna do it the hard way, you know, I'm gonna do it. And I graduated and all that stuff, man. But a lot of these people now, man, they doing bad, man. I know three of them that actually got arrested for it. So they coming around. They ain't forget. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know three of them. They got felonies right now for fraud, bank fraud, all that stuff, wire fraud, man. So trust me, guys, it's not. I know. Like you were saying, it's all smoke and mirrors. You see on your timeline, oh man, you know, chicks going out to Miami, having a vacation, all that, man. But all I got to say to all my young pocket watchers, because I'm a young one also, just man, just keep your head down, keep working. I promise you, it's gonna pay off. Nothing easy. Nothing fast comes easy. So, you know, just keep working, and whatever you do, do not mess with the government. I mean, that's rule number one, right? They ain't gonna forget. Now they keep tabs. You know, you're gonna think you got away a couple years, and then boom, they're right at the door, at the door, man. I'm telling you right now. So, thank you, JT, for all you do, and happy holidays to you and the Pocket Watchers.
Hey, happy holidays to you, and congratulations on doing it the right way. My brother went to school, especially during that time frame, going to school during COVID. It was not easy. You were doing online courses and all that stuff. You went to school, graduated, on your way in your career field, doing your thing. It is what it is. You got to have some values, or you're going to end up looking bad. All right, let me get through these calls. I got Emma. Emma, you are live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. What's going on?
Yeah, I enjoy your show. I'm an immigrant, but one thing I've come to realize in this United States is scary. Mm-hmm. And I watched when Biden said the sheriff is back. And that made me think what's going to happen. I saw even the people who are leasing agents, they had already done some scams. And I think in the next 10 years, this country, people are going to go to jail.
Oh, absolutely.
I told my sister because I tried to learn the system. Mm-hmm. I told my sister when the money started being released, I told her, there's nothing for free in America. These people, they walk backwards. Jail is an industry. Mm-hmm. What you don't see on television is they don't tell you. The jail system, they fund the political parties. They fund, and nobody tells, wants people that don't take this money, because if you take, we're going to come for you. Mm-hmm. And now here is the rude awakening. People have already gone to sleep thinking, oh, I made away with a lot of money from the government. Nothing for free. They walk back, and if you did something that wasn't clean, it's hard to sleep in, you know, when you know what can happen.
Right.
So even if this lady paid back the money, you want to say that, she's gonna go to jail. Do you think because she's rich, maybe she's gonna hire the
lawyers? It's over. So I want to be clear. It's over. Is that the trial is over? She was found guilty. Yes, she has resources, and they're attempting to appeal. Right, they're gonna file an appeal. But the problem is they immediately arrest her based on the report that I had. She was out on bond during the trial. But after they found her guilty, they didn't let her go home. I believe she was immediately arrested. She's probably behind bars right now waiting for sentencing. So I don't know how much her money's going to help her other than you know, maybe she can have some influence and get a shorter sentence or something like that. But I don't know. It's gonna be tough. I appreciate you calling in, Emma. I gotta get to these other calls, but Emma, thank you so much. I got Mo on the line. Let me bring up Mo. You're live on the air. What's going on?
What's up, JT? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
What's going on, man? Longtime listener, big fan. I'm always working whenever your live is going on, but today I'm off, so luckily I caught you. I've been watching all this stuff, man. It's unbelievable the type of risk people take. They don't understand that this stuff is on the record forever.
Forever.
You know, and when you talk about generational wealth, well, guess what? Generational respect, integrity, that stuff goes a long way. You got somebody that did a crime, for example, DJ Envy, like his whole reputation, legacy is like tarnished. So at the end of the day, it's really greed, it's really sad, and like the devil comes in a disguise. So that money seems real cool, but guess what? That shit has a paper trail, and that shit's coming right to you. Doesn't matter, because this is the thing, like people, they get caught, and then they want to point the finger like, well, guess what? This guy's doing it too. Was like, listen, America doesn't work like that. You got caught, you got caught. You got to stand on it. That's it. You know?
What that reminds me of, it reminds me of the person who gets pulled over for speeding. And is, instead of, you know, accepting the fact that, yeah, I was speeding, they want to point out to the officer, well, what about that guy? You going to get that guy? It's like, no, they're not going to go get that guy right now, because they're dealing with you. They're going to write you your ticket.
It's your turn. Exactly. Right, it's your turn. But yeah, man, I hope people really listen. I try to really, you know, I got out of college. I'm working, you know, at a big corporate company for engineering. Mm-hmm. And I tried to lead people. You know, I live in a community where education wasn't that big. But, you know, the thing is with out here, if you live in America, wherever you live, there's opportunity, right? But you have to work for it. And sometimes that opportunity, like, you know, she had some big positions, big relationships. Is it really worth the money to blow a lifelong, you know, relationship? Then people are looking at you sideways. But the thing is, people in America, they'll backdoor anybody. It's all about money first, capitalism, all that BS. But, you know, I really appreciate your work. I really like you guys, you, Tony, Eli. You know, you guys are really, really, you know, helping people out more than you know. And, you know, I'm from Jersey. So the fact that I found you, you know, through different channels, I really respect you. I like your integrity. You know, I like that you keep it real fair and that you're educated, man. Keep on doing what you're doing, man. The people love you, bro. All right. Thanks, man. Have a good night. Man. Happy holidays.
Shouts out to you, Mo, man. Thank you so much. And shouts out to Tony the Closer Robinson, Eli from What Happened to Common Sense, everybody who I've ever collabed with throughout this whole year. This has been a wild year for Pocket Watching with JT to go from, I think I started the year around 50, 60,000 subs to be over 100,000 by the end of the year. I have to, you know, just say thank you to all you guys. I appreciate it. All right, let's go through here. We've got Mel. Mel, you're live on air. What's going on?
Hey, JT.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to just point out, I was going to stay off tonight, but I just did want to talk about, like,
Time out. I can hear the broadcast or whatever in the background. So if you can mute that real quick.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That one's delayed. Thank you.
We can get straight to it.
Yeah, I was just really impressed, and I'm glad that you gave her a fair chance to show just legacy, what she did, how great she became, what she went through. And like you said, to come from a place of unaccredited schools and to be able to pass the actual board, that is mighty impressive.
It's huge. Like, I don't think most people realize that there's a bunch of unaccredited law schools around the U.S. and the people who go to them, normally they're in a position where they can't get into a bigger school. They don't have the money or the time. And most of them fail the bar. Like, they don't even qualify to sit for the bar. And those who qualify to sit, they fail. She did it while being a police officer in Atlanta. I think she was a single mother at the same time.
Right.
She did all of that. Oh, and just in the matter of moments, they can take it from you.
Yeah, because it's just those, you know, little Black history moments that we just look up to, that legacy and things like that. And it's a shame that it's now overshadowed for that. Hopefully she learns from it, make a great comeback. you know, it can happen, but that's, you know, everybody done said a fair share of stealing and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad beat in my head, there's nothing free in America, and it always kept me out of trouble. And your social security is your fingerprint. That always has kept me safe. Yeah. And just, I'm just looking at the legacy of how great and everything she built. And I thank you for bringing that out and showing what she built before all of this. And it's like, wow, man, you really like fumble. Like, this could have been something great for somebody to look up to. And we need that. Like anybody need that, black, white, or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's all I wanted to say.
Listen, thank you so much for calling in, Mel. I appreciate it. Yeah, when you think about it, it's like people complain, right? You do not want to be judged based off one mistake. And that's real. No one should be judging you off of one mistake that you make. But the problem is, the reality is that one mistake can throw away a lifetime of good work. Right? You can have a lifetime of doing good things, good positive things, and that one mistake can put you behind bars. You can't go to the judge and say, look at all the good things I did, right? You can try, and hopefully in sentencing that will bring down the hammer, but these are federal charges. I'm pretty sure there's certain guidelines that the judge has to meet. And the fact that she's an attorney who is actually running to be a judge, I don't know how much leniency she's going to get. And that's the sad part. Never let greed get you, man. Never let it. If you cannot get it the right way, you don't need it. Because at the end of the day, they can always take it from you. All right, we got Karen. Karen in the building. You are live on the air. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, go right ahead.
This is kind of off topic, JT, but I have some losses on some stocks for this year. Uh-huh. And I just wanted to know, can I write off those? I know about the, I understand about the tax loss harvesting rule.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about $3,000. I have probably about a little bit over $3,000 in taxes, tax losses. Can I write those again, write that off against my ordinary income? Okay. Or my gains, which my tax losses is more than my gains right now. So can I write those losses off against my ordinary income?
Yes. Yes. So
okay.
Just to let everyone know what we're talking about. So she has some losses from stocks, right? So that's a capital loss. She also could have some gains in some other stock that she has. And at the same time, she could say, okay, well, I have this $7,000 loss from a particular stock, but also have like a $5,000 gain from another stock. Let me sell both of them at the same time, which one will kind of eat out the other, which would leave in this situation, $2,000 left of a loss. You don't have any more gains for those 2,000. Based on the current tax law, you can actually write off $3,000 of a capital loss against ordinary income. So if you, after tax loss harvesting, if you get to the point where you still have an additional $3,000 unaccounted for the gains that you had during the same period, you can still write that up to $3,000. Over $3,000, it has to carry forward into the next year. Okay? Still there? All right. Well, hopefully you got that answer. All right, here we go. Going to the next person. We got Jay. Jay is in the building. Jay, you are live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. What's going on?
JT, how's it going, man?
Good, man. Thanks for calling.
Cool, cool, cool. Yeah, man. I was one of those people on the sideline with that FOMO. I have a small business, and I was like, you know, that looks pretty good. Everybody's getting this money.
Uh-huh.
But you know what got me?
What?
I said, it's a PPP loan. It's not a PPP grant. It's right. Not a PPP gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's a PPP loan. So all these people who are out here spending this money, how did you expect to pay back this loan?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bank loan. You can't file bankruptcy and then get rid of it. It's a government loan. So how did you think you were going to pay this back?
Well, they had a couple of options, right? So early on, they were unaware that it could be a forgivable loan. I think when they first announced it, They didn't talk about it being forgivable. I think it was like a loan at 1%. It was a 1% loan. But then I think soon after they said, listen, if you use the money for what we want you to use it for,
okay,
which is paying payroll, then we're going to actually forgive the loan. We're going to forgive it. So they're thinking, well, I'll apply for it. I'll get it. I'll lie and say that I use it for what I said I was going to use it for, and they'll forgive the loan, which that is what happened for very many people. The problem is the double check, right? The government said when you applied for this money, they were going to double check and make sure that this information is accurate. Right. Early on during COVID, and I experienced this a lot because I have clients who are a small business owner. I'm a small business owner.
Yep.
Most small business owners are not very good with paperwork. They're just not. They're good at what they do. They're good at selling their product, selling their service, whatever it is. But when it comes to back office paperwork, they're not very good. And because we were shut down and, you know, and staying in and sheltering, they couldn't get to their accountants and advisors and attorneys.
Right.
So the federal government, and I understand why they did it, the federal government basically said, we are going to allow you to self-certify the information you're providing. Okay. But when we get time, when everything slows down, we're going to double back and make sure that the information you're providing is accurate. Gotcha. I think a lot of these people missed that part because, yes, you can tell the federal government you had over 400 employees and, you know, $7 million worth of PPP loan money. You can give us a fake 941 payroll tax return. Right. And we'll accept it because we're allowing to self-certify. But then they're going to double back. That's the part I just don't. She's an attorney. I don't understand why she didn't think like something was off with this.
And now second thing here is, why is she appealing?
Oh, she got the, listen. Of course she's appealing. She's got the money for the attorney to do it. And you never know what may happen. You, at that point, when they put the cuffs on your hand, and you're sitting behind those bars, I don't care what you got to do. Appeal, file whatever you got to file. Maybe they can either cut down some time or I can just walk out. But that's yeah, she's appealing because she's got the bread to do it.
That's true. And then the last thing is, man, they're sending her to jail and she had to pay restitution plus interest.
Yeah, I believe, yeah, she paid it back plus.
I do one or the other.
Yeah, she paid it and then... Obviously, they want the money back, but she from reports I got, she paid the money back real quick after people found out. That's why I'm saying the woman, she had the bread. It's just people want more. And when you see a lot of other people getting money and you feel left out, you're like, man, let me get some of this.
Yeah.
Wow. And now she's at where she at.
Wow. All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate all right, boss. Thank you so much. All right. Listen, I'm not going to be here all night. I'm not going to hold you guys. Holiday weekend, but I'm going to try to get through the people who I can see who phones are not acting up. So I see Dave. I see John. Everybody else, your phones are acting up. It's saying that your device is not connecting. I can't help you with that. I don't know what's going on. So let me get Dave, John, and I think Anderson just popped up. So let me get Dave on the line. Dave, you're live on there. What's going on?
What's up, JT? You can hear me good?
You're good to go.
Yeah, man. First of all, I've been watching for a couple months, man. It takes a lot of courage to do what you do. I appreciate you and everybody else I've seen on here.
Let me be clear. I don't think of myself as a person with courage. I'm a man with a lot of pettiness. Pettiness is what keeps me going. Listen, man, you know how long it takes to get this stuff? I had to go through 4 years of undergrad. Then I went to night school. I had to sit through hours and hours of exams. I counted them up. 18 hours. I was in a proctor room. For those of you who don't know what I'm saying, you're in a cubicle with a person monitoring, walking back and forth with a camera in your face. The whole time you're trying to concentrate to pass this exam. I was in that room for 18 hours for the various certifications and licenses I have. And you think I'm just going to let... just weirdos pop up online giving financial advice. I can't do it. I'm too petty. So I just want to be clear. I'm nobody's hero. I'm a very petty financial advisor. That is what I am.
Well said, brother. Well said. Yeah, so let me get right to it. So what a play, you know, that the government has here, you know. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but man, they just let you just explained it. They just said, hey, just send us whatever you want. We'll verify it later. You know, people fell for it. They just put this stuff out there, and now the reset's happening, man. And all these people, I mean, the lady you're just talking about, she's already got it made. So what is she doing? You right. know, just destroying her entire legacy just for a couple of dollars in a ring. In a pink Rolls, you know, Rolls Royce or whatever that is she had. I just find it very interesting, and I want your opinion on it, because I mean you just explained it, but man, it's a reset. All these people out here, you know, mm-hmm. lost their jobs or whatever, and they applied for these loans, and then now all of a sudden it's just coming back. They're just audited. How many people are going to end up in the system, out of work, out of you know what I'm saying? I could go on forever.
Even if they just give you a slap on the wrist, right? Let's say you're a small PPP loan scammer. You don't do any time. They give you a slap on the wrist. You mm-hmm. get on a payment plan. Because we're talking about $20,000. You can't even buy a brand new Kia with $20,000, right? So you're probably on a payment plan of somewhere between $150, maybe $200 a month. Over a couple of years, you good to go. You pay the money back. But that slap on the wrist that kept you from being behind bars, you're a convicted felon. Even mm-hmm. if you were never behind bars, you have a conviction, a federal conviction of fraud on your record. Do you understand how limiting your options are now in the future for employment and different things because you now have that conviction? It's like it's never.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly what I was getting at. Now you're seeing it. It's happening. And well said. You know, I won't hold you up, brother, man. I just wanted to just get your opinion on that, because, you know, a lot of people got you know, caught up in the net there. And man, it's going to haunt them for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely, man. One mistake and everything is down the drain. Thank you so much, Dave, for calling in. Let me go to John. John, you're live on the air. What's going on, bro?
Hey, JT, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Awesome. Yeah, I just have this a part of this I don't get. Mm-hmm. I know you keep saying it's greed, but mm-hmm. there's something else there. Like, I understand people who have money can still be greedy. That's no problem.
Right.
But this isn't the typical high school dropout, run the play type of thing that we see on this show all the time.
Right.
She's forget about the police officer part. She's an attorney.
Right.
And she's a successful business owner.
Right.
So she, even if the money's great, mm-hmm. you have to know you're going to get caught. It's obvious. It's like, look at these two documents. How do you convince someone who's that knowledgeable to do mm-hmm. something that stupid? Like, I know a guy, good brother. He owns a little like a hot dog place.
Mm-hmm.
Brother dropped out. I think he might've dropped out of elementary school, but he has had a successful business for 30 years mm-hmm. selling food. Doing that thing. If he got convinced by some attorney to do this, I could understand him getting convinced, because right. he doesn't know anything.
Right,
there's no way she couldn't know, hey, if I fill out this federal document and they just look at the one that I always send them, it makes you can't be that greedy. It's not possible. If there's $100 million in a bank and they say, well, it's a felony if you go steal it, but the vault's open. Oh, and here are all these cameras looking right at you. I'm not walking in there. I don't care. It's obvious I'm going to get caught.
Yeah.
How does that work? Have you ever seen somebody who not just should know better, but seems to, they would know better
mm-hmm.
and know they're going to get caught? Forget about the ethics. Know they're going to get caught. Have you ever seen someone do that?
See, it's the know they're going to get caught part. That I'm not sure if she was aware. So her defense, right? And this is based on me reading reports. Her defense and her attorney during the court case was putting everything on her attorney. This is her attorney. Mm-hmm. More than her attorney, this is a friend of hers for a very, very long time, I'm being okay. told. Miss Norton. Miss Norton is her personal attorney, longtime friend. And they say It was all Norton. It was Norton's fault. She was the one to convince Ms. Robinson to do these PPP loans, and she was never aware that she was doing anything nefarious. She thought that she was due this money. She qualified for this money. The problem with that is this. She did not apply for one PPP loan. She applied for four, okay? She had to go through the process not once, but four times for four different businesses where she was claiming different employees for each one of her businesses, when in fact, only one of the four businesses were actually operating. Now, at some point, her analytical attorney mind, regardless of what her friend is telling her, right? I don't care how much she was trusting her friend, who's also an attorney, she has to say, why would the government give me $600,000 for a loan for a company that's not even operating right now, that has no employees? Why would the government give me $600,000 or $700,000 for a company that only has about 8 to 13, and like she never asked the question. I looked and see what was the formula that came up with how much money she was getting. I mean, we can't say that she was a very hard worker. She went to school, became a police officer, went back to school, became an attorney. She ran for public office, I believe, to be a judge. She did all of that. Now she's just, I don't know. You put papers in front of my face, I'll sign them. Like, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, especially that.
Yeah, so analytical, on top of your game, vote for me to be judge. And now it's, hey, I put all my trust in my friend. She's also an attorney, and I didn't know what was going on. You can't do both.
And especially if she's signing that one form you mentioned, that 941, that she knows she signed before.
Several times.
You know it's false.
She had to sign several. She had to sign at least four of them.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, the one last thing I'd like to mention, though, and it relates back to your previous call. You talked about even if she gets a slap on the wrist, it's a felony. Felony's worse to me. Now, this is just me. I'm a lame. I'm all this stuff. But if you gave me a choice, if somehow I got jammed up, and someone told me, your choice is you got to do a year in jail, but then you get out with no conviction, with a clean record, or we let you go with the felony, I'll do the year. Because the year's a year. I lose a year. That felony destroys everything.
Everything. Because, I mean, based on the reports, I don't think the Bar Association has yanked her yet, but I'm sure they're going to yank her because they yanked her friend when she pled guilty. Now that she's been found guilty, they're going to yank her law license. And I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe, based on this case, I believe the county voted in some sort of statute that says if the owner of, one of the subcontractors have some sort of federal conviction or something, that contract gets yanked. I thought, based on the report, that's like a multiple million-dollar contract her company has. And because of this conviction, I'm pretty sure the county's going to yank that contract. So she's going to be gone. The business is probably going to collapse because who's going to run it? And now she no longer has that contract. She's ineligible to have that contract with the county, which is multiple of millions of dollars. It's over.
She can't practice law anymore. She can't practice law. She can't be a police officer. Hope she paid into Social Security when she gets out.
Well, I mean, she's in her 60s, and if her legitimate money is still what I believe it is, she's not going to be hurting.
Okay,
but her lifestyle is probably going to take a couple of steps down. And I think what's more important to her is her place in her community, because I think she worked extremely hard for that. That place that she has in the community will never be the same. It will never be the same. No.
She's another felon now.
Yep. Just another felon. One of the people that she used to lock up when she was an attorney for the city.
Exactly. Well, thanks a lot, JT.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. All right, let's get through these calls. We got Anderson. Anderson, you're live on air. What's going on?
Good evening, JT. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay, perfect. Man, it's just crazy how you can work so hard and come from humble beginnings and fall back to humble beginnings. I mean, it takes you years to build up to finally get to these kind of levels and then to squander it all like that. And I kind of get it. You know, greed kind of gets the best of us sometimes. But like you said, if she applied for four PPP, like there's some point you got to question if what was that, greed or corrupted morals or whatever the case being. So that's something interesting. But I'm so glad that, you know, you and Brother Eli talked a lot about finances and talk about the implications and the consequences of these of our actions, because I haven't seen EYL done this. You know, you did the last video about him 500 running the play when it comes to the credit card, the Navy Federal. And you really don't think about the consequences until it happens to you. You know, I'm just glad that you guys are here, you know, teaching the right way, teaching the implications and just, you know, spreading the information and just making us aware of what can happen. And it's just sad to see that this lady, yet another sister who worked hard, but just fell into some bad decisions and then just ruined her life.
Yeah.
So thank you guys. Appreciate being on here. Have a good one. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you as well. And it reminds me of something that Eli says all the time. The content that me, Tony, Eli, Yvette, Tone Talk, like the content that we make, we're trying to bring the balance, right? It's not that we're the only content that should be out there. No way. No way whatsoever. It's the fact that there has to be some sort of balance that shows you the other side of the coin. If the only type of financial content that you consume is telling you about all the good stuff, and how you can become a millionaire overnight, and how someone took their stimulus money and flipped it into a multi-million dollar trucking company or whatever it is. If that's all you hear, you will be confused to think that you're missing out on something, that you need to take shortcuts to get to where that person is, because if they did it, you can too. The other side of the coin is most of these people are lying. Most of these people are marketers and not real business owners. Most of these people are faking it till they make it, and they're going to make it from you buying their course, buying their masterminds. And in reality, they're functionally broke. They're living paycheck to paycheck. So you got to have some balance here. All right, here we go. We got James. We got Bro Joe, Craig, Hunt, Bobby, Mark, and that's it. I'm doing those and I'm wrapping it up. We got holiday weekend. Some of y'all need to make sure that you pay for your Christmas gifts in cash and not on a credit card. Get to work. Don't go into debt. So here we go. Let me bring up James. You're live on there. What's going on? James going once. Maybe I just brought you up. Let me bring up Bro Joe. Bro Joe, you're live on there. What's going on?
Brother JT, congratulations, man. I was cheering with you when you hit 100,000. Just want to let you know. And I see that you hit 114, man. To be honest, I kept checking your numbers because I was really wanting you to hit that 100,000. And man, I cheered. Seriously, I'm being serious. I was really happy with you, man, when you hit that 100,000. And now you got 114. We're going to watch you hit a million, man. And I'm going to be right here helping. I pass your show off, your link. I tell people, and I do business consulting and I'm in the ministry. And I share your links to people who need help. So you mean a lot, man. Keep it up. Keep it up. But let me get to what I wanted to say. I work for the IRS. I'm a revenue officer. And as I listen to you talk about 941, and there's also a 940, there's 1125, there's a 1040. There's a lot of different forms that are filled out for taxes. And a lot of people, you're right, small business owners sometimes struggle with knowing how to navigate all that. Mm-hmm. So people like me will help them do it. But I'm also going to tell them, well, at this point, you still got fines you're going to pay. You still got interest. But we're going to help you know what you did wrong, because we're going to educate you.
Right.
And in this situation, I think that I wonder if the government maybe also dropped the ball in the way that they created the opportunity, thinking they were doing a good job with helping businesses, but I think they moved too quickly and they didn't really think through the best approach to use the existing IRS system to help make sure that people who applied perhaps were not approved through an automated system versus just making it a lot more subjective to the, who were analyzing the application. Maybe there should have been a automated system so that if you didn't have 941s, 940s, and all these other documents that showed historically that you had these numbers, and if you were reporting it today, then it's like, well, sorry, the system says you didn't have these numbers, so right, we're going to have to deny you, versus it being thrown together, putting people in the situation that could have innocently done what this lady did. And believe it or not, lawyers don't know everything. Right. A lot of them don't know tax laws because they don't specialize in tax law.
Great.
So I don't know what this lady's specialization is, she could have thought, well, maybe if I get the money, I can hire people and I can put them to work in my companies to work this $90 million contract I just got. Maybe she thought that. I don't know. But we didn't do a good job. When I say we, I'm talking about the IRS, I'm talking about the federal government, people who are in positions of trust, so that when we put a product out on the market that's supposed to benefit the people, we've thought it through. Yeah. You know, and I love Barack Obama, but his Obamacare, it was thrown out there and a whole lot of people were just crashing the system and it took millions to get it perfected. And he did a good job, but it went out there and had all these problems. And even Donald Trump, he's like, if you don't like the fact that I have all these bankruptcies, talk to your people who make laws. They're the ones that allow me to file all these bankruptcies and get away with it. So sometimes the federal government is not doing its part to protect people from themselves and from what they don't know, from what they may not understand. And if you ever, well, I know you have because of your business, you look at some of these government documents, the wording is confusing for the average person. It's talking way over people's heads. And they oftentimes make what seem to be contradictory and confusing comments in the 13, 15, and 30 page documents you got to read through in order to just get one little loan. So sometimes it's very cumbersome. And even though you hire people to specialize in this, you got lenders, you got all these auditors, but sometimes they may make a mistake. So my thing is, I think we could do something better to hold the federal government accountable and not just throw this lady out with, you know, with the backboard and say, listen, maybe there's something y'all did to mislead her, to make her think that what she was doing, maybe she got the money, maybe she was going to hire people with that money and give people jobs. Maybe she was thinking that. I don't know. But I don't think it was just totally all on her with this thrown together PPP program. And all of a sudden, now the people are suffering because they may have even misused it. Not excusing those who were out there broadcasting, boasting about doing wrong. We know they knew what they were doing.
Right.
But I think there could have been some innocence maybe somewhere in there. And the last point I'm going to make, I've been in ministry for 36 years. I help people through my consulting company for free who can't afford, maybe people like yourself. I mean, you probably are very affordable, but I'm also thinking you get paid for what you know.
Yeah.
Some people just can't afford you. And so I may give them a little less of what you can give, but I give them just enough so they can get their business moving. They can get started. I do it for free through my ministry. Mm-hmm. And then if it's just too much, I say, listen, you're going to have to just bite the bullet and call somebody like a JT, because you're really going to need somebody who knows that they know what they know. But I do free consulting. So there was a sister who had a small business, an African-American woman, been in business for years. All of her clients, coincidentally, were white. All of them. Mm-hmm. All of those clients got PPP loans. But they denied her, the only black person in the whole bunch. All of her clients got PPP. Mm-hmm. And then they denied her. And she called me to ask me what I thought she should do. And so I still say the federal government, I use that as an example.
Right.
I think they have made some mistakes. Absolutely. And they need to think about that and take ownership of that as they're trying to punish people like this lady to say, maybe there's some space of leniency we can give. She paid all the money plus the interest. Okay, let's give her a year of community service.
Right.
This was maybe a victimless crime, if there's such a thing. She paid all the money back plus interest. So it's not like they lost any money. So maybe they should give her some community service.
I think her paying the money back and her history in her community will probably go a long way.
Right.
It'll probably go a long way as far as the sentencing side of it. The only thing that I would be worried about if I was sitting on her team is the fact that she is an attorney. She was running for judge. These are things that she should have known, or she should have been more willing to seek out more information before she signed on the dotted line. But I think you got a great point. The federal government did play a big part as far as their negligence in the system and the way that people can apply. Whew. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Thank you for calling in, bro. Let me get through here. I've got I got Craig. Let me bring Craig up. Craig, you're live on there. What's going on?
Oh, what's going on, JT? Oh, man. First, just thank you so much for everything you're doing. I'm really just learning a lot from y'all, and I feel like one of the greatest lessons I learned from listening to folks like you, like Tone, like Yvette, is just like where I am actually financially, like on like the totem pole, you know. Mm-hmm. So regarding this case, like I feel like there's two main things. One, I feel like as a like now, you know, whatever everybody has opinions on law enforcement and whatnot. But I feel like there's a real issue of accountability within law enforcement that a lot of us can, you know, see. Mm-hmm. And I feel like once you're in that environment, you kind of start feeling like you can get away with stuff, you know? So I feel like that probably might have played a role into some of her behavior. And the second thing I feel like is even more important than that is just, keeping up with the Joneses. And and that's kind of why I mentioned, like, you know, what I mentioned about you and Tony and Yvette, you know, helping to keep me grounded to see where I'm at on totem pole, because, like, you know, I feel like I'm real fortunate. I make pretty really good money, and I've been to some of my coworkers' homes, and they got bigger homes than we have. You know, they have nicer vehicles than I have, but I'm not really fazed by that because I just kind of know things a little bit different, you know. You know, depending on where your background
is the debt. See, they'll show off the house.
Yeah,
maybe. They'll show off the car, but what they're not showing off are those monthly payments at probably mid to high interest that they're paying to be able to do all of these things. They don't tell you about that side.
I completely agree. I know too that some of it is depending on their lineage too, because I know some folks got like gifted like a house from their grandmother. You know, that helped him out a lot too. But I feel like, you know, since, you know, I could go to the homes and I could see that, and I'm coming home and I'm like, you know what? Like, we're good. Like, we're good. Cause I know where we're at. I know where I'm trying to be. I'm not perfect. I got debt that I'm trying to pay down that, you know, I learned how to do by listening to shows like yours. But, you know, but I feel like, you know, once she was, you know, cause she had a nice house and she probably had real nice neighbors. They're probably doing bigger and better things than she was doing. And I feel like, because 60 years old with a felony charge is crazy. As a professional, that's crazy. And honestly, that's my biggest fear. Because I'm a professional too, and I ain't losing my license for no freaking PPP loan. So that's just my thoughts on that. I just feel like just knowing where you're at, being satisfied, and just, you know, index fund, the slow growth, mm-hmm. and just live your life, and don't try to get a freaking pink Bentley or Rolls Royce or whatever the hell that was. I appreciate you, JT, and I hope you have a great Christmas.
Yes, sir. You do the same, Craig. Thank you so much for calling in. All right, we got two more callers, and we're going to wrap this thing up. I got Hunt, and I got Mark. So let me bring Hunt in the building. Hunt, what's going on?
Yo, JT, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Man, I got nothing really to add to the show. I just want to say, man. Listen to you. It's like one of the funniest things. Thank you for just being a genuine person, though, like, and just giving out just real information. I don't know where you get. I've looked at your clips like a million times. I really don't even call into shows like that. But man, hey, you just gave me the keys probably to just live, like you said, just live a halfway decent life that. A lot of times people don't even tell you in just in that basic form. Mm. So I appreciate you, like, for real, for real. I'm pretty sure you banned in Atlanta, Florida, New York, Illinois. So if you ever need some muscle, I got you, my guy. That's the only thing that I got for you, though, for real. Appreciate you for being you, though.
Hey, salutes to you, Hunt, man. Thank you so much, my brother. I'm humbled by the support that you guys give me. Because I know in real life, you guys wouldn't like me. Let me explain something. Let me be very clear. As annoying that I am to these scammers,
I can be annoying
in real life. Like, yeah. I'm not like when I get in arguments with my friends, they will tell you, I argue the exact same way that I do on this show. I do the exact same things. I point out the exact same numbers. I catch people when they misspeak, and I hold them to it. I'm not a likable person in real life. So the fact that I have over 100,000 people watch me rant on Friday nights is ridiculous. Stop. And I just got to say thank you.
All right, my guy. Salute.
Salute to you, man. Thank you so much. All right, here we go. We got Mark. Mark, you are live on the air. What's going on?
Hey, JT, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Look, I'm not going to keep you long, but... And I didn't catch the entire story. I think I caught enough. I agree with the young lady, first of all. You know, what you laid out in the beginning, the accomplishments, and then to hear the ending part of it is totally sad. I don't know the whole story, and I'm asking myself why. I mean, to have the financial resources and to go through so much that most people, I mean, would take two lifetimes to do, to achieve.
Never even dreamed. Did you see the clip where they pulled up to her home?
I did. Oh. I'm like, there's got to be something missing here. Although, I have a statement that I always make, and I'm big on financial and tax education, especially tax education. So the brother that came up that works for the IRS, he's absolutely right. The Bible says that my people perish from a lack of knowledge, right. And many of us are not knowledgeable about the tax laws. However, documentation beats conversation, and so when you put something on documentation.
Right.
They don't want to hear your conversation. They want to talk about what's on the document. Okay. So, you know, when you fill out those forms, there's no such thing as an extra zero typo, and you got the money and you kept the money. Right. So, man, it's a tragedy. Yeah. It's a tragedy. It's sad because there's people out here starving. There's people out here that are financially hurting, that have lost their jobs because of this, you know, pandemic or whatever we want to call it. It doesn't matter. Right. And to see someone so blessed,
right,
to fumble the bag and be African American.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's sad. So however the outcome is going to, you know, happen. And yeah, even if she paid the money back, it wasn't her money. But I'm asking myself the question. How much did it really cost her? You got to think about that, right? Between all the money now that you got to spend to try to limit the pain and penalty of your life being behind bars,
hundreds of thousands of dollars. She was able to pay back what, $7 million plus interest, right? If we're looking at the report, and then she has an attorney that I know is probably hundreds of thousands of dollars, and now she has to continue to pay that attorney or another attorney to do the appeal. It's so much. Not even
on top of everything that you lost. On top of everything else that you lost, the contracts, your credibility. The fact that you'll never be able to work in public office ever again, everything. It's a tragedy. This is one of the sad ones here.
It is. That's why I really, when I looked at this story, because just like many of you, and thank you, Mark, for calling up. And also to Brother Joe, if you can drop your information in the chat, because you said that you give out free consultations to people who are in financial situations, please drop your info in the chat. You can also email me and I'll try to share it on my community tab. I'm like many of you. I saw this story and I was like, I'm missing something. That's why I tried to seek out more information. I found her daughter's YouTube channel. I watched a couple of those episodes. The woman is remarkable. Her story is remarkable. And to think that, according to the federal government, one lapse of judgment during a time when a lot of people were getting the bag, it's a sad story. So listen, I want to make sure I read all these super chats. I want to thank you guys for supporting the content, and I wanted to just read all these super chats. And remember, listen, I have never asked any of you guys to super chat me. You do not have to show support by super chatting. Watching the video is support. Liking the video is support. Sharing the video is support. If you have credit card debt or you have any type of financial issue in your life, don't super chat me. I'm doing all right. But if you have some extra money, you just want to super chat, do your thing. But trust me, it ain't making no difference for me. Pay off your credit card debt. But here we go. We got health and wealth in the building. Says search HR 748 CARES Act at Congress .gov. Check the introduction and past dates. PPP foresight is 2020. Everything is 2020. Listen, man, I don't care what it is. If you have to lie on a piece of paper, it's not for you. It's not for you. Shouts out to E305. Thank you so much for getting a one-month membership with Pocket Watching with JT. Thank you so much. We have Truth, Lies, Opinions. I told TLA, the lead attorney, I told TLA I was going to get my consult with you after the holidays. Okay, says I need to put this money where it can grow. Don't know why, but I trust you. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for trusting me. Trust but verify, right? If you go to my website, ThorntonAdvisor.com, it has all my information on there. It also has different links where you can verify that I am who I say I am. You can go to the CFP board, which is CFP.net, and you can check and verify, am I in good standing? Do I have bankruptcies? Do I have felonies on my record? All of those things you can check online to verify. But thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hey, we got Debt-Free Dad in the building. Shouts out to Debt-Free Dad with the $3 super sticker. Thank you so much. We have Doe Eyes TV. I did a collaboration with Doe Eyes TV. Go check out her channel. I did an interview with her a while back. She got a six-month member. Thank you so much. And then again, we have Truth, Lies, Opinions. Thank you so much. Says, I'm a veteran, have USAA and my Navy Federal. I had personal and business accounts, 720 credit score, had to show DD-214s. I guess that's proof that you are a member of the military. Had and have bank in all accounts. Didn't qualify with Navy Federal credit card, so M500 is foolish. I'm just saying, love you, JT. No, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Listen, guys, we're almost at the end of the year. Obviously, we just have about a week or so left. But what I want to leave y'all with, and I'm still be back. I got another show that I'm most likely going to do. But what I want to leave y'all with a couple of things. Number one, my appreciation. Listen, over 100-something thousand subscribers for a cornball financial advisor who's extremely petty is amazing. Thank you, guys. I couldn't do it without you. The message that I want to give is that beyond all of the flashy stuff that you see on your timeline, all of the money, cars, big homes, all of those things do not matter. What matters is your family, your relationships, being able to pay your bills on time, not go into debt, not buy things that don't matter that, you know, get you into debt in the first place, being a person of your word. If you give someone, you know, some sort of guarantee that you're going to do something, you do it. Those are the things that matter. All the other stuff, trust me, I'm 40 years old. I turned 40 this year. And I can tell you from my experience, all of that other stuff does not matter. if you can look yourself in the mirror and know that you're not faking it, you are who you say you are. Doesn't matter if you have a Rolex on your arm or a Timex. Can you actually look yourself in the mirror and be proud of the person that you are and still have the mindset that, listen, I still have growing to do. I'm trying to improve and I'm willing to do the work to improve, and I'm not trying to cut corners, do scams, do fraud to get to where I want to go. That's all that matters at the end of the day. All right. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. The Pocket Watcher is out. I will most likely be back next week unless something happens. And if something happens, I will let you know. But we're going to leave with Mo Money Tax. Thank you, guys.
Hi, I'm Mike Evans with Mo Money. Tell me, what do you know about Mo Money?
Brother, all I know is I was here last night getting my taxes done. And today, there's Mo Money all the way. You know what I'm saying?
And how about you?
In here yesterday, back today to get my check. Mo Money stuff is real. I'm Mo Money for life.
I had a slow money? Well, come to Mo Money, because we about that.
Mo Money Taxes, and once again, it's on. And I got the hookup.
Mo Money Taxes. Come down and see us, and you'll be glad that you did.
At Mo Money Taxes, you're more than just another number. This year, we're offering our 32nd refunds to go along with our next day refunds. Come down and see us, and you'll be glad that you did.
Continuing saga of Mo Money Taxes. Norfolk police are investigating the tax preparer, and they have alerted the IRS about customers' complaints.
Where's my check?
That's the question all of these people want answered.
The IRS is basically verifying to us that our money is here in their bank account.
Friday, crowds gathered at Mo Money Taxes in Norfolk. On Granby Street, owner Mario Brady told us he printed 50 checks and 30 did not clear.
The banks have refused to cash their checks, saying that there is fake. I mean, that is unacceptable.
Federal agents raided the headquarters of Mo Money Taxes in Tennessee this morning.
You may remember 10 on Your Side traveled to Memphis for local Mo Money customers who claimed they didn't receive their refund. We continue to follow.
Hey, Pocket Watchers, are you looking for real financial advice? Thornton Advisor Group is here to help. Jason Thornton, certified financial planner, specializes in tax and wealth planning. Are you living paycheck to paycheck with no retirement plan? Do you need help with the IRS? Book your consultation with Thornton Advisor Group to get a financial plan, budgeting, savings, debt management, tax planning, investing, and retirement, even IRS debt settlements. Stop trying to run the play. Get the advice you need to live your best life from a certified financial planner. Book your consultation appointment today. Go to www.thorntonadvisor.com.